to be a rat.
Stupid bastard. I can't fucking believe you. Now you're gonna dig the fucking thing up. You're gonna dig the hole. You're gonna do it. I got no fucking lime. You're gonna do it.
Who cares? I'll dig the fucking hole. I don't give a fuck. Was the first hole I dug? First time I dug a hole, I dig a fucking hole. You know, where are the shovels?
Digging a hole is just what this Jets team is doing to itself right now.
You get what you pay for.
Embarrassing. That was embarrassing.
Is this what we paid for? Six picks? Find out right here, right now, on the NYJ Couch Scouts Podcast.
NYJ. Couch Scouts.
I'm your host, Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five, dead or alive. NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
Keep digging, boys. You won't be able to get out of it. Because that was embarrassing on Sunday. And welcome, everybody, to the NYJ Couch Scouts Podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jet fans?
Unreal. What you saw on Sunday, as I said to open, was downright embarrassing.
Six picks? Are you kidding me? Did we pay this guy $12 million to throw six picks in one game?
Listen, I know this was the fear, and I knew you were going to be coming out, and Gino, and this is what we said, and I understand your point. When you look at what the man did, and the holdout, and I won't play for that, and then you put on the field what he put on the field in Kansas City from 4:25 on Sunday was just...
I know we have to talk about Kansas City, but really, let's be real. The last three games, has he really been up to great par?
Buffalo. Buffalo, you can't take that out.
And let's say they're injured and they got Rex as their head coach. They're not doing so well up there. So right. I take Buffalo as an easy win, and he did his thing on a primetime game. But we have to
and
say the Bengals game.
And everybody talks about how Rex owned him and his record and all that, so you can't...
Let's say the Bengals game.
What he did against Buffalo is what we need, is what flashes and what we saw at times last year that made the difference, that made him the guy that had to come back, the $12 million man. And I'm not wavering on him needing to be the quarterback for this team right now. But I'm not going to Geno. I'm not putting in the petty yet. I'm not doing it. You got to stay the course right now because you got to see more of Buffalo.
As much as it hurts me to say, I do agree with you. You can't go off course and just throw another quarterback out there after one time having a bad game, or in my case, having two bad games in three games. But you don't go off course. Even our best quarterback in our history has had 3 6-pick games before. It happens. But this was unreal. Unreal that there was drives where he was consistently throwing it to the other team.
How many times the defense got to give you a shot to take that game by the throat and go after it?
We were only
and
down
you handed back
14 points, and we kept giving the ball to the offense over and over and over again. And you know what? I do blame a lot on Fitzpatrick, but Chan Gailey needs to get some blame on this game as well.
I will completely agree with you there, but it works hand in hand because I gotta go where the Joe Capisaro went today and yesterday on Twitter. Brandon Marshall is wide open. Robbie Anderson is wide open. If we're not predetermining 75% of our throws, we got Decker on an out or Anunua on an in. It's unreal. The man's brains right now, I can be critical and still stand behind where my stance is. But the man's brains right now are costing him opportunities to execute.
How many times is he going to stare down Brandon Marshall? Yes, we know Brandon's the most dominant threat on our offense right now, but how long are you going to stare the guy down? Yeah, we know he goes up and gets the ball. Don't stare the guy down.
Forget staring down, get the safety coming over there all game. Forget, and that safety's going to roll anyway. Because it's Brandon Marshall. But forget staring down. I'm talking about breaking the huddle, reading the defense, and this man is determining where the ball is going without question. Without question. Pre-snap. You can have strength in what you see and what you believe will happen, but you gotta be able to adjust.
For me, we've had many blowouts as Jet fans. We've seen a lot of Jet blowouts before. This has been, this one right here, though, us throwing the ball to the opposite team over and over and over again. Yes, we all remember Mark Sanchez throwing five picks in a game to Buffalo.
That Buffalo game hurt.
Yeah, it did. But this just seemed much more, worse and unorganized, and they weren't there. The offense just was not there, or at least Fitzpatrick was not there. And you know, last year for Fitzpatrick, he had a safety net in Bilal Powell, where if he was in trouble, you throw it out to the running back. Who is his safety blanket this year? He doesn't have a tight end. It doesn't seem we play Bilal a lot. Like, who is his safety blanket this year?
The difference, and it plays off of what you're saying, we won a lot of 50-50 balls last year. And right now, we ain't winning those 50-50 balls. That's the difference in that big play or that drive that's just sustainable. We get a first down and fizzle out. Well, we go three and out when we can't afford to go three and out.
We were one of the best teams in the red zone last year. And now I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but we're one of the worst teams in the red zone this year.
It's where I was going. You looked like you wanted to come in and I let you. Why do we abandon the run? Forte's coming off a 3-touchdown game, all of which I'll say inside the 12, 13. How do you just get inside that 15, let's even say 20, and turn it into a 7-on-7 pass, Skelly? I don't understand.
From the beginning, Fitzpatrick wasn't playing well, but we decided to throw it 44 times. We were only down by 14 majority of the game. Why are we throwing the ball 44 times? We don't sign Chris Ivory. We decide to bring in a veteran in Matt Forte, and we only give it to him 15 times today. Last week against Buffalo, 30 times. What is the issue? And they have a great secondary, right? We talked about it last week, how Kansas City, one of their strongest points of their team, was their secondary. So we decide to throw it 44 times and only run it 15 with Forte? What the heck is going on?
And I have to be honest, to your point, I felt the offensive line was somewhat getting pushed. I didn't think it was anything to where, I'm telling you, in previous weeks, I said, man, it's going to get to the point where we almost got to get away from this. Then at the end of the game, as I've said, a la Curtis Martin, my favorite Martin, you look at, and Forte had 90, Forte had 100. But this week, it was like, nah, we ain't going to go that route. I want to go after Marcus Peters. I want to throw in Eric Berry's direction.
Who had the first pick, by the way.
And you see the way, I'm sorry to digress here and get on a, but you see the way other teams seem to be tipping the ball up. My father's watching the game. He goes, you see that corner? He knew he didn't have a play on the ball, but he just wanted to get that ball up in the air for his boys. Can we get a little bit of that?
Please.
Can we get a little?
Can we even touch the ball?
Because that's the extra effort right there. And you're not wrong there, but
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and get into the defense right now. I still want to get into the offense.
Yeah, because I still want to bring it back to Fitz. Because I'm with you. Are you kidding me?
Ridiculous. We pay this man, he holds his money out, just like I was complaining about in the offseason.
I'll give
when
that
you
to you.
When you pay the man, he doesn't seem to come that next year and bring it. And I'm not saying his season's over, but this is a start of something that can be really, really bad.
No, but we're at the point of a potential problem. And we're at that point because you're looking at Seattle. I know Russell Wilson. I truly don't expect to see him out on the field. I just can't see Seattle doing it. Having the bye coming up in another week, you give him a chance to heal. He's got the ankle as well. I can't see Seattle out there, but that almost fears me. And I'm going to get there when we get to the Seattle game this week because I see a little Tyrod Taylor in Boykin. And if you let him out of the pocket, can he hit us? Can he carve us for a couple big plays? That can be the difference. Because like you were saying, with what Fitz put us into this week, the situation we had to play ourselves out of on D, it was a 14-point game for the majority of the game. So you were still in it. He literally lost that game two or three times over.
How many times is Kansas City gonna drop a pick that he threw to them? Oh my God. I can't go back in my head and see that one drive where play after play he threw it to the opposite team every play.
It was scary, man. And to me, he wasn't under the type of pressure that would warrant reckless abandon with the football.
Throwing the ball while he was going to the ground?
That's what it was. It really was.
But let's get into the receivers, okay? We saw Robbie
should have a 20-something yard touchdown on his resume right now.
One of his first catches. He's got two catches, 34 yards, 17 yards a catch. That's good.
And before
you
move on from him, truthfully, he made a great play on that ball. He boxed out, used his body well, which it's not what he's known for. He's not the type of guy that's this big, stocky dude that can really. He just played it like a receiver. And it's the flashes you saw in the preseason and the reason the man wears his shoulder pads on Sundays for us right now. He has the ability to play in this league, and he's proven it every time he goes out there.
He
truly is.
I like what I see. I do want to touch on Jalen Marshall. I've been saying this. Maybe I haven't been saying it on the cast lately, but Jalen Marshall's biggest issue is not knowing how to secure the rock. And you could tell when we went to training camp.
Bro, you called that out. I'm texting on Sunday.
When
you called that out, it's exactly what you said. His problem may be ball security.
Exactly. And when we saw him in training camp, we saw him catching those punts. I knew that he wasn't securing those punts the right way. And it looks like that's going to be his problem this year, is securing those punts. But you know what surprised me?
Hold on. He's not going to have a problem this year if this happens again. And I'm quite surprised there hasn't been competition per se, but maybe there is. And you wanted to bring that up.
Well, what I wanted to say is that I'm surprised that after the horrible day that he had, that Bowles just kept sticking him out there. The young guy that Bowles, you know,
he's got to stick with him.
Bowles
because
does like veterans. You know
why?
He's got
to stick with him because he made his bed and he's got
to
learn it.
Put Decker out there. Put Decker out there just to secure the catch.
All right, Jimmy Leonard.
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
But can we bring it back? Because I threw it up and you let it fall. CJ Spiller working out for the New York Jets. Is that something that you really think a week from now? Like, Jalen's on the proverbial hot seat for the New York Jets right now. You think they're working out of CJ Spiller and saying, okay, we know we got this in the bag. We're going to give the kid one more shot?
I definitely think that.
Because he's not going to have a season to screw up, Buzz.
I wish Jeremy Ross was still here, man. That would have been a perfect guy back there. We both thought this preseason.
No. I thought this the preseason. Once we got through the preseason, I was willing to roll the dice and go with the young cat and let Ross walk. He is still out there. He's another guy you can bring in. I just don't know how much longer you can have the faith because he's a young guy that you want to work with and grow with. If you got to cut him and you got to lose him, you got Robbie Anderson, who we just talked about. You got Quincy Enunwa, who's a young receiver. You hope you got something serious in Devin Smith. I have my reservations. I have my hope.
I think we have something serious in Quincy, for real. Again, leading the receivers in receptions. I thought we were going to go to him consistently this game. Obviously, we didn't. We couldn't go to anybody consistently. But
tip my hat to Quincy, because Brandon Marshall wasn't the only receiver playing hurt, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. I think Quincy's always hurt, though. He takes shots all the time.
Because he throws his body around.
He's right. And I love it. And I think he's playing out of his mind. And I think he's going to be our best offensive weapon this year.
How does Eric Decker have one catch?
And he was open multiple times. Multiple times.
I don't even know if surprise is the right word. But the disgusting 6 interceptions thrown is almost as surprising to me as Eric Decker having one catch. I just don't understand how a man who literally helps your offense tick isn't funnel the ball to him at a certain point. Get the ball in his hands.
And you know what? And all those to me is Chan Gailey and Chan Gailey's offensive preparation during the week. I think that Fitzpatrick, yeah, he had a bad game and they weren't prepared. But the person that's supposed to prepare him is Chan Gailey, and he's supposed to be able to put a game plan out there that gets the ball to Eric.
You think
Decker.
There was any tip of the hand in terms of what you're saying with Bowles' press conference? The first criticism of the most popular line of the week. We got out schemed.
Oh no!
The game plan.
I totally think that Todd Bowles was extremely mad at the offense and how they prepared this week and the game plan that they had going into this game. I think Todd Bowles extremely upset with that, and you know that he's not a front seat guy. He's a defensive guy, so he's not there all the time with the offense like Rex was. He's more of a head coach in my opinion than Rex was.
I'll get on board with that.
But he's again not in those offensive meeting rooms. He's more of a defensive guy. So I'm thinking that he gave the keys to Chan, and Chan just messed it up this week against Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs.
You abandon the run inside the red zone like we talked about. You're in, it's third and one, third and two, and we're in the shotgun. Some of these plays I see us run, I'm like, you got to be kidding me
totally
right now.
Totally agree.
You want to be a big boy, AFC East in particular offense. Run the rock.
And throw the ball down the field. Stop with these little tiny dink and dunk plays. I get Chan Gailey has his offense around that, but still,
forget
man,
the deep
we
ball
did so
right
well.
Now.
We
forget
did so well with,
right
with,
now,
with Buffalo
man.
Throwing the ball down the field. Let's see some more of that.
Run the damn ball. Run the damn ball. Get behind Mangold. Get behind Winners. Get behind Carpenter, who you're paying and is your biggest, baddest asset on that offensive line.
And do you know why we threw the ball so well against Buffalo? Because we did run the ball 30 times with Matt Forte. This week, 15 times. No wonder why no one was open.
You give the Alabama Crimson Tide 7 extra possessions on you, you're probably going to be in a tight game. I'll never say a college team will beat a pro team. So I couldn't finish that where it seemed like it was going. But you're gonna have Alabama in the game. I promise you. You cannot give. And you want to talk about, I want to almost consider that 8 possessions. Because what is Bowles doing before the half? You got 3 timeouts. They're inside the 30. There's a minute and change left. Him and Andy Reid let the clock run down. Okay, you know what? We got an opportunity now to get into the get before the half, get the ball, and get into our offensive possession with 2 timeouts. All right, 44 seconds. Here we go. We don't do anything to get the football before the half. Down by a couple scores, not getting the ball to open up the second half. You put no effort in and you go into the locker room with timeouts? For what? They ain't coming with you.
Because you know what he thought? He said, oh, we're only down by 14 points. This is not a horrible comeback.
Let's get out of this half?
Yeah, let's get out of this half.
Let's go get 3!
Let's get out of this half and see what we can do in the second half. But that wasn't in the keys this week, man. This week was just a chalk-up loss from halftime.
Bus, this was a chalk up loss from before kickoff.
When they came
based
out there,
on everything we're talking in terms of game plan and what I just touched on, which is mentality to me. Come on. Attack, attack, attack.
Unbelievable.
And I'm not trying to sound juvenile and you got to pick your spots. It was a good time to get into the locker room and regroup. No. Go get it, man. You got the type of offense and the type of weapons right now, whether you got a quarterback or not that could reach him to throw down the field. 2 timeouts, figure after a punt, you're sitting somewhere around the 35. You're telling me you can't get 30 yards? In what would have been, if properly managed, 1:05, 1:10 maybe on the clock. You can't get 30 yards? Because I should say, go down there and get 7. Come out, hold them 3 and out, and let's get this game going. But no, I'll take 3. And you had no interest in going to get it?
No doubt. A horrible, horrible, disgraceful offensive showing this Sunday.
Go ahead and get into the defense.
I have
that's
to. I'm done talking.
Call, please,
yeah, I'm
please,
done talking.
Because I got
that.
Nothing else to say. My hands are in the air, and we need immediate improvement.
Yes, I agree. All right. Hey, who's our defensive MVP? Let's get a little smile on our face. Who's the defensive MVP right now? Can you tell me?
Go ahead. You take it. I'm still.
D. Lee, baby.
Still reeling.
D. Lee is all over the field. D. Lee is all over the field. Another sighting. Antonio Allen, baby, getting out there making tackles. D. Lee, man, is unbelievable. We played a 4-3 this week. And he was out there.
Started in a 4-3. I'm back, by the way. I'm feeling all right now. We on our D.
I cooled defensive, you off. You got some water?
Defensive through and through. Let's go and let's get it. Darren Lee showing you everything you want to see.
Oh, my God.
We said it for weeks. Haven't seen speed in the linebacking core like this ever. And Vilma, I'm in almost including right now because I think he's quicker than Vilma. The clock says he's quicker than Vilma.
Definitely.
But game speed says something as well. And this kid is not going to give up this starting spot, whether it's 4-3, 3-4, 4-2-5, 1-1, not whatever it is. This kid's going to be out there. Yeah, by season's end, I can really see him challenging some of the DBs for snaps in the game.
He's out playing these defensive players, these veterans on this team, I think. Can I ask you another question? Are we going to see Calvin Pryor impress
Where
us at all?
Where is Calvin Pryor right
now? Are we going to see anything?
But he called himself out, and I actually liked it. I got to play better, period.
You're damn right you do.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what the general consensus of a response was to it. But I just looked at Pryor like, wait till you see what we get out of him this year.
That's what I thought.
And I haven't seen it.
I thought we were going to see a top five safety in the league this
year. Gilchrist, for that matter, too.
Ooh, yeah.
Bold statement. I don't want to just brush over that.
That's what I thought.
Bold statement there. Top five safety.
I thought we were.
You think his coverage is good enough to be considered a top five safety in this league?
Coming into the season, I did. I thought he was going to impress this
league. I'll take Pryor in a one-on-one in a jump ball situation, but I'm not taking Pryor in the open field right now.
I just thought that he was going to come out this season and impress the whole league. And he hasn't shown us anything. Another player that I want to put on my high horse right now is Sheldon freaking Richardson, man.
4th and 1.
He is not even that. On plays that are going past him, he is chugging down the field and making the tackle.
Mama bandstands.
He
stands.
Had 6 tackles this week. And I'm not telling me and there, not man. Telling me that 4 of those tackles were in 30 yards behind him.
He was back home, bro. He had his people at the game. You always have a little more pep in your step for that. And Sheldon plays hard as it is. He truly does. So that's nothing that's going to surprise
it.
Me.
And I'm
that
not...
4th and 1, though.
Oh, he's a beast.
That 4th and 1, though.
He's a beast, though.
Woo! Him fourth and inches,
him
really.
Him and Big Cat are a beast. I'm not hating on Mo. Not in any way, shape, or form hating on Mo. But I thought we would see some little bit more spark this game from him. And I didn't really see anything.
Pryor made a beautiful undercut. The D got the stop when you needed it most, and they still couldn't get nothing out of it. But we're not going there again. I did love what I saw out of Lee. Harris, I felt, you know, Harris is a little bit of that liability in coverage.
He's just getting older, a little slower.
Exactly.
That's it. And you know
Travis
what? I never hate, when I see him chasing somebody, I never hate on the fact that he's chasing that
person.
No, because
I know what he's giving us in the run game.
Exactly.
And I know what he's giving us away from the ball, banging on an offensive guard. So you got to know a player's downfalls and kind of try to steer away from that. And that's where Darren Lee by season's end may be able to help that out. But you look at other guys on this defense that had the ability coming into the season to kind of capture a role and really, really solidify themselves as a key piece. And I'm still looking for it with a Lorenzo Malden as well. What is your temperament right now toward Malden?
Like what you said before we got up here and started recording, he was only in there, 17 snaps? My thing about Malden is he comes out there and brings hustle. In his only 17 snaps, he had a half a sack. And if it wasn't for Darren Lee's speed, he would have a full sack and maybe a strip sack.
But how come they don't have more of a use for him? It can't just be because we're starting out in a 4-3.
Well, no. I just think that in 17 snaps, he's throwing you a lot. I think that you can stick him out
there
more than that.
Yeah, he's giving you a lot of hustle.
I think that you can get him out there more than 17 snaps a game. I think that's on the coaching staff more than anything.
Is he setting the edge the way he needs to set the edge? And tying him into Sheldon. Very surprised Sheldon's the one coming off the field when Malden comes in. Was real surprised to see that. And I saw McClendon in there. But you're playing your Mo. You're playing your Leo, who's...
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like he,
oh boy.
I think he's the most impressive. You know what I mean? We know what Sheldon is. He's a defensive rookie of the year.
I think he's
we
the know most impressive because we know what Mo is.
We know what Mo is. But I think that Leo is just who could have won defensive rookie of the year last year because he had such a great year.
Peter's had the numbers though.
But his ceiling is just so high, it looks like. Like the big cat just looks like he's going to grow into a monster.
My overall feeling though with the defense against Kansas City was kind of all tied up into one drive / one play. And that's when Gilchrist gets the fumble inside the one that hits the pylon and goes out. It was just enough to get us the ball back.
Oh my God, by inches.
Without points getting put on the board. But the drive you saw to get down there, the opportunities they had throughout the game to get off the field. And they just can't capitalize right now. And I will be the biggest apologist, defend him until I'm blue in the face. But is Revis knocking off rust and getting his sea legs like I was trying to pitch last week? Or is he out there going through the motions right now? I saw no effort on that screen that came his way for a first down on 3rd and 8. I saw no effort.
Personally, I think it's just rust. I really do. I think it's early a season. He's not in mid-season form yet. And again, I do agree that he didn't take this offseason as serious as he's taken other off-seasons. So I'm not surprised by that. But I'm not worried about Revis. I'm worried about the safety.
You're reading out of the Pete Antonelli handbook right now, thumbing through pages. I hear you. I'm right behind you there. I just gotta bring it up because I'm not trying to be the guy on here that's not gonna call something out if it's what he's seeing.
No.
And it's what I'm seeing.
I just see some rust being knocked off. I think you really don't have to worry about Revis. I think you have to worry about the secondary and the safety position. But I wanted
which is a huge surprise to me. Exactly. Where'd you want to go? Go
I
ahead.
Wanted to go in our first sighting this year of Jenkins. What'd you think? 5 tackles, 4 of those were assist tackles. That means that he was running towards the ball. He was hustling.
You know what my favorite play was? And I'm going to sound kind of weird right now. He drove. I wish I knew who it was. I don't. So be it. He drove somebody Bruno Giacomini style out of bounds after a tackle was made, got up and ain't want to hear a damn thing from him. He jogged back like the kid in high school who doesn't really know he's a good ball player yet. And he's kind of just still really modest on the field.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, bro, he rode this dude to the sidelines and gave him the Orlando Pace pancake. And he didn't think nothing of it. It's just the way he played out there. Not to have the pun, but he was a dog. He was playing tough, old school football. What I expect from him.
I think it stinks that in his first outing, we had such a bad showing of the Jets. And he had to play on such a bad game.
That's fine. But I do think your
that,
job.
I think do your job.
That's
I think,
it.
I think we saw some flashes of a good solid player as young as he is, and we really don't know what we're going to get out of him yet. But we saw some flashes of a good solid player.
You know something I want to bring up while we're talking about Jenkins, and it's kind of getting to me a little bit because I'm almost guilty of it myself as well. When Lorenzo Maldon was drafted 2 years ago, he was literally Jordan Jenkins. But the minute we drafted Jordan Jenkins, Lorenzo Maldon became Shane Ray. And I don't really know how that happened because we looked at a guy who, and we spoke about a guy who played in a 4-3 and, you know, could even put his hand in the dirt for us, can set the edge, will give you a nice burst in the pass rush game, but isn't the 12-15 sack a year guy that other pass rushers can be. And then we took that guy again in Jordan Jenkins and said, all right, Maldon's about to be our pass rusher. And now people, us included at times, are looking at it like, man, we're not getting that production. We shouldn't be getting that production. It's not what the ball player is. We should be happy with having 2 Jordan Jenkins or 2 Lorenzo Maldons. Just basically getting that, having 2 steady outside linebackers that'll give you something in pass rush, but are going to set the edge strong and stop the run game because it's what they are.
So are you saying that the coaching staff is making Lorenzo into like a Bruce Irving kind of player?
Sure. That's another good, for instance, for a nowadays player. And I don't think he has Bruce Irving traits.
So do you think that they're misusing him?
I won't go that far. And it's a cop-out. I know it sounds like a cop-out. Deal with it. It's a cop-out, and I'm doing it. Because I won't say they're misusing him, and that's the equivalent of not knowing what they're doing. And I won't go there. I'm just saying we have an expectation level, myself included now, of a Lorenzo Malden that may be a little unrealistic for production because it's not what the ball player is. And truthfully, I say come 6 to 8 sacks. He's the type of guy that'll get you 6 to 8 in a good year. He'll flash 10, but he'll be steady. And I just think we have the type of mindset like he's 12 to 15 now. You're not going to get that. I'm sorry, you got to hear it here. You're not going to get that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Lorenzo is the hustler, though, and I think that he right now they're using him as a situational pass rusher. And to me, when he gets out there, he flashes. But I think that Lorenzo needs to be out there more than 17 snaps a game.
It's just the talent you have up front is clogging stuff up a little bit.
Yeah,
but it's clogging it up in a good way, like you said when you wanted to talk about our pass rush again. No sacks.
Yeah, and a question I wanted to ask you is last week I was worried, and you said calm down. They were just containing him. That's what the game plan was. This week, I don't think the game plan is to contain a non-running quarterback.
No, I think offensive line played better than I expected them to.
Exactly. Why are we not getting any pressure with the best, in my opinion, and what we think and what the money that's going out there, that this is the one best D-lines in the league.
They're the best D-line in the league. We just don't have that edge presence, and it's what we just talked about ad nauseum with Lorenzo Malden, but we don't have that edge presence that we need right now, and a lot of people know that. We know that included. It's just how do you work a Malden in when you're trying to run 4-3 to get your D-lineman on the field? Not even a guy you turned into a backer that you want to come back down and play a natural type spot. You just don't have room for it right now. I understand that. Maybe you could work a better rotation. But again, if he's not setting the edge, he can't get in a rotation for early downs because running downs, you're not welcome on the field in the NFL. Just like passing downs for a running back. You ain't getting on the field if you can't protect.
Or catch.
Yeah, you're not welcome on the field as a defensive end, edge setter. Let's say that, if you can't stop the run. So,
all right.
What is it?
Now we're up to the special teams. There wasn't a lot of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Folk was one for one with a 28-yarder.
Really good way to put it.
And our boy, Lachlan Edwards.
Our boy, Lachlan Edwards, kind of disappointed me when he kicked to the kid. Why put the ball in Hill's hands there, knowing he's electric? I know you got to trust your unit, and we're going to attack and 1,000 miles an hour. But let's kind of be smart a little bit when we got returners that we should fear, because maybe he hasn't earned that respect yet. But that kid was electric.
Yeah.
I'm not giving him. We see Kansas City again. I'm not giving him the ball. I'm not.
I wouldn't. I don't want to see Kansas City.
You can see by
right
some
now.
Of the things they did with him offensively too, and the reverses, and then being able to run that reverse and not give it to him, putting him in the backfield for the flare route, and I'm screaming about that. Like, come on! If they put a receiver or a kid like that, you know he's coming out. He's running a jerk route.
What do you expect from an Andy Reid team? You know,
good point. Good point, because you know what? Coming out of that backfield, he did look like Brian Westbrook.
Exactly. We can guess the plays, but our team couldn't.
But let's focus back on the special teams. Where we were going, we were about to wrap up this disaster, this pile of smoking garbage that this game was. Let's wrap this up.
Unbelievable. There's nothing else to say. I think we touched on everything about this game. I really just want to move on. I should have moved on Sunday after the game, but I'm still talking about it today on Wednesday.
All right, let's move on now then. We close the book. Let's focus on Seattle. They playing Russell Wilson?
I hope not. I really hope not, because you know Doug Baldwin, who I don't think was anybody, is now somebody. Catches one hand, catches in the air, catching touchdowns.
All right, let me sound like a Colin Cowherd or Skip Bayless on you right now. Would it be better for the New York Jets to see Russell Wilson on Sunday instead of Trevon Boykin?
Technically, if we beat Russell, we would be talked about.
No, it's not talked about. I'm not going there at all. What does Russell Wilson do well? Mobile. Moves around in the pocket like Tarkington.
Doesn't look like we're going to sack anybody this week again.
Bum ankle. Now, bum knee that they got lucky on, the same way we got lucky with Brandon. They got lucky on that that isn't worse because the picture of that is gruesome. But that, what Russell Wilson does well, you would think he would be limited to pretty much not being able to do at all right now. So keeping him in a pocket where maybe he could still carve you up, and I'd rather not have his brain and what he brings to that offense out there, to be
like
honest
superstar.
With you. I'm just trying to bring this little theory up. And what Boykin can do brings to a game with his athleticism, with his deep arm, not so much accuracy, but he does have a big arm. Can he get out of the pocket like Tyrod Taylor did last year and showed the ability to do 2 weeks ago to us? And gash us for some big plays?
No, I definitely think he can. Do I think he's that he's going to? No. I think if you put a young quarterback in there against our defensive line.
And against our head coach.
Yeah, I don't think that's good for them. But again, their strong part of their team is that Legion of Boom. And yes. You know, our weak part of our team is Ryan Pick Fitzpatrick. Okay.
Here we go with this guy.
You know, you got the Legion of Boom. You got Earl Thomas running that. You got Richard Sherman over there going against Brandon probably. You got Cam Chancellor.
And this is where I fear them. Because kind of shifting back to their offense real quick, I don't think they can run on us. Thomas Rawls will be out. Because I don't think many, if any, people can run on us. I believe that in my heart of hearts. So I don't see their running game being successful. I look at Jimmy Graham like a guy who should be gashing us, should really be that type of threat. But how healthy is he right now? And you touched on Doug Baldwin, and then we moved on and got to D, and I'm bringing it back here. But I don't think Baldwin's the type of guy that doesn't match up all too bad with our corners and what we try to do defensively. So then you got Curse, you got Richardson, you got my boy Lockett, who, again, let's not kick to him if we ain't gotta. Just a small, small gesture.
Let's be smart this week. We cannot kick it to Lockett. We can't get Lockett have the ball. He's a playmaker.
Bro, if you're watching the Jet defense, are you not just bubble screening
all
the shit
day.
Out of us?
All day. I'm throwing screens in general, running back screens. I'm throwing screens in general because.
Screens, jeans.
It doesn't matter.
Beams, all of them matter.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. And you know that I think now we both guessed last week we were going to turn it around and get a win in Kansas City.
Yep.
But
yep.
You know, this game
stellar
right
record
here,
right now.
This game, Sunday, 1 o'clock at home.
West Coast team.
Our prime time game, which I say is a prime time game. We play our
best. For right now, for morale, for where we're at as a team, we're up against the ropes, man. We're three games in. I ain't trying to sound like Chicken Little and the sky's falling. But we're three games in, and I am up against the ropes taking shots,
that was
I feel.
That was a great one. That was a good one. But I want to say that we have four more games to get out of this hole of hard teams.
Bro, forget four more games. You're looking way too far down the road.
No.
You play Seattle, and you got to come back and play Pitt. And then Arizona.
And then the Ravens, okay?
When does it end?
So what I'm saying here is we want to get out of this 500, right? We want to get out of here.
3-3. I said that. My father's, no way. You can't sign up for that. The team we are. I feel we're both on the same page with that. You told me I can get out of the first 6 weeks, 3-3, with this daunting schedule you all wanted to talk about. But I can get out of this 3-3. I'd have signed up for it.
Okay. This is the game right here. We have to pull out a win if we want to go 500 in the first six games, because I think... Yeah, we might get that loss to Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, which we usually do. But I'm generally nervous that the Arizona Cardinals, not nervous for us, nervous for the Cardinals, that they're not the same team.
I don't care about either one of them games right now, bro. I don't care about either one of those games right now.
All I'm saying is that this game is very deadly important. 1 o'clock at our home in MetLife.
Take advantage of an unfortunate situation.
You have to get the win here. If we want to see our team go 10-6 or possibly make the playoffs, this is the game to turn our season around.
I hit you with the moral. You didn't even give it to me. All right, I'll let that one go. 10-6, you sound asinine to me right now. And I was there with you the preseason. We need to get a W like nobody's business right now. And it's against an NFC team. So you want to talk playoffs and all that. It's not going to help us as much as it would if it was a different Kansas City or Cincinnati. But we need it so bad. And like you're saying, for the schedule, we're about to turn around and play some tough teams. Then we get New England with a pissed off Brady. Then we play Miami, who somehow plays us tough once a year, every year. I know it's the whole division thing, but whatever. You still got to see Rex again. You got to go through the North. It's a must. And it's tough to say week four is a must win. It's never a must win till it's a must win. Week four is kind of a must win right now.
This is definitely a must win. We're at home again. I'm going to keep repeating it. Home, 1 o'clock against a West Coast team that had to travel. We have the advantage here.
All right, so you got anything else to say for the game? You got anything else you want to touch on? Defensively, you went there.
I want to see Robbie.
I don't
got to
tell anybody who's on that D. We all know about
it. I want to see Robbie. I want to see some Robbie out there. I want to see us run the rock and
listen,
throw
I don't think you're
going to
see
deep.
Robbie. Yeah, you think the game plan this week was to play Brandon Marshall pretty much every offensive snap? Because I really hope it wasn't. I don't see how it could have been. But it's what happened when you got out there on Sunday. So even though you saw a peak of Robbie Anderson on Sunday, I don't think you're going to see much more.
I just think that
And where's your boy Sharon Peake? My boy, everybody's boy. I didn't mean to come across that way. But where's Sharon Peake at?
Obviously, there's two receivers that are doing better in practice, man. But I want to see us run the rock. Give the ball to Forte. Give him some plays,
man.
They got
some athletic linebackers, man. So if you try to pass over them, under them, through them.
Are you saying that we have no chance?
I can't imagine another one.
We have no
chance? You throw a 3-4 pick game, you're going to have to start entertaining the stupidity that you're already seeing and hearing.
We don't.
But let's not even go there,
please. We never have penalties, so that's nothing we have to worry about. The one thing that we have to worry about is turning the ball over. And can we get some takeaways this week?
Most important thing, take care of the rock, man.
Can we get some takeaways?
Hey, listen, I'm with you there. The team we're playing, they are the Mr. Miyagi of the takeaway for the past 4 or 5 years. So you better be able to match them if they start falling their way.
Unbelievable.
What do you see for the game?
Well, if you want to, well, obviously preseason, I put it as a loss. But as of right now, our back's against the wall. I'm saying the Jets pull it out. I still have faith in our team here. I'm saying the Jets pull it out.
I got faith too.
17-10. I think it's a low scoring game because obviously our offense can't get it together. So it's going to be 17-10 or even smaller than that, 13-10. I think I just see a low scoring game here, but us coming out with a bare win.
Okay, I'm gonna juju on the beat a little bit. I'm gonna try to reverse psychology to gods. I'm gonna say the Jets lose because I've picked them to win and I've gotten burned here when I truly believed it. This is a coin flip game for me right now. And it's only coin flip because of the way we're playing. Because the way Seattle's playing, if you told me this is how they're playing, period, I would have wanted them right now. Because you got Russell Wilson potentially sitting out, you gotta take advantage of it, regardless of what I just said. 19-13 Seattle, we fall to 1-3, and we're now in a must-win situation the following week.
For the following
week. I'm going to go that route with it and see if I could try to fool them.
Let's go, Jets. Let's get this one. Come on, let's come out and fight at least.
Definitely, definitely one we need. That'll put another week in the books for us here at the NYJ Couch Scouts. As always, want to thank you guys out there for tuning in, downloading. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, and anywhere podcasts can be downloaded.
Hey, Jet fans, give us a follow on Twitter at NYJ Couch Scouts. Leave us your questions and your comments, and look out for future prizes and giveaways.
As always, a big shout out to our producer, Gio Garcia, and our co-founder, David Schwendeman. And one more thank you to you guys out there. You keep tuning in. Like I tell you, we'll keep bringing it for you. Till next week, Jet fans, let's get one.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast, audio of the free.